Today is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, and here are the announcements. There will not be any blessing of articles after Mass today. No benediction this evening. Thursday, there will be a holy hour from 7 to 8 p.m., followed by a benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. This is the first Friday of the month this week, and so the Mass will be at 8:30 a.m. on Friday, followed by the Rosary and Conference. And this is the first Saturday of the month. This coming Saturday, the Mass is at 8:30. Please remain after Mass today. Father Ward has an important announcement for all of you to hear. So remain after Mass today. Do not leave until Father Ward has spoken to you. Some big feasts this week. Today is the normally commemorated Saints Abdon and Saenon. They're not commemorated today because it's a Sunday, but they would be for a weekday. Tomorrow is the feast of Saint Ignatius of Loyola. The statue is over here. Tuesday is the commemoration of the Holy Maccabees, the only saints from the Old Testament that we have on our calendar. On Wednesday is the feast of Saint Alphonsus Liguori, and he, of course, is a great saint for all of us. He's one of our favorite saints because we have read basically everything he has written. He wrote volumes. How he did it without a computer, we don't know. It's astounding, all the things he wrote. And he wrote about everything you can think of regarding the Catholic faith. Doctor of the Church, St. Alphonsus. And someone who knew him told us what was the outstanding beach feature, virtue, practice of his life, since he wrote about every spiritual virtue, practice, everything you can think of. So you might wonder, what was it that was his favorite practice? He wrote one of his first books wrote about Blessed Mother. So you'd think maybe he was devoted to her more than anything else. But this person said the hallmark of his life was purity of intention. He was constantly renewing his intention so that everything he did, no matter how great or how small, was done for the glory of God. On Friday is the feast of Saint Dominic, and we would like to speak to you about him, but we can't. And on Saturday is the feast of the dedication of Our Lady, the Church of Our Lady of the Snows. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, that we should live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now you have not received a spirit of bondage so as to be again in fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by virtue of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself gives testimony to our spirit that we are sons of God. But if we are sons, we are heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Please stand for the Gospel. Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 to 9. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward who was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear of thee? Make an accounting of thy stewardship, for thou canst be steward no longer." And the steward said within himself, "What shall I do, seeing that my master is taking away the stewardship from me? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I shall do, that when I am removed from my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." And he summoned each of his master's debtors and said to the first, "How much dost thou owe my master?" And he said, 100 jars of oil. And he said to him, "Take thy bond and sit down at once and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much dost thou owe?" And he said, 100 cores of wheat. He said to him, "Take thy bond and write 80. And the master commended the unjust steward in that he had acted prudently, for the children of this world in relation to their own generation are more prudent than the children of the light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into the everlasting dwellings." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The introit for this Mass today speaks about the temple of God. Now, this temple that it speaks about had not been built yet. It's a psalm, and the psalms were written by King David. The temple that we all know so much about was built by Solomon, King David's son, King Solomon. It was so magnificent that it was considered one of the seven wonders of the world, one of the seven man-made wonders of the world, the ancient world. It was, we will not describe it for you except to say that it was extremely elaborate, and practically the entire inside of the temple was covered in gold. But it was considered by the Jews to be exceedingly holy because God dwelt there. But this temple that was considered so holy was only a symbol, just a very faint image of this little church and all Catholic churches, because in our church, our God physically dwells, doesn't he? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, whole and entire, is present here with us. The same God who is in heaven, the same body that is in heaven is here. Remember? This is Christ in heaven here. That's why it says when you come into the church, "This is the house of God and the gate of heaven." So here, God dwells. And this church is simply a representation of the temple of your soul. This building will be destroyed. It might be today, it might be 100 years from now, we don't know when. This church will not last, but your souls will last forever. God does not love this building. It's just brick, so to speak, and mortar. But he cherishes your souls just as if they were God himself. And the reason, of course, is because we have God dwelling in our souls, don't we? The Blessed Trinity is with us. In addition to the Blessed Trinity, we have God's life. Created share in God's life. So we are like God. St. Paul speaks about our body, which also God dwells in our body. But St. Paul speaks about it in this epistle as if it is our enemy. And in a manner of speaking, many ways, it is our enemy, our body. Because that's where all of our sins come from, isn't it? That's where all of our temptations come from. Most of them, anyway. And he says, if we let our body rule over us, then we will die. And he means by that eternal death. That's another term for hell. This is what he is saying. If we let our body control us. But he says, if we follow the grace that God has given us, sanctifying grace, actual grace, then we will live eternally. But also, not only eternally, we will live now. Meaning that we will enjoy God's presence. He says, we do not live by fear, but we live by love. Because we are God's sons, we are God's children. We have his life in us. And in addition to having his life, his love, we have this extra gift from him, which is part of that life. Gift of piety. Now, anybody who has a father, all of us, has an affection, if his father is a father at all. He has an affection for his father. And it's special, isn't it? It's not like any other love that we have, the love that we have for our natural father. Isn't that right? It's different from all other love. We actually feel it, don't we? We feel the love we have, just like the love we have for our Father in heaven. But that's what he means when he says, the Spirit gives testimony to our spirit, gives proof. We feel the love that we have for God the Father. There's a difference, of course, between love and piety. We feel love, but piety is special. What's the difference? We see it in the best prayer that we were ever given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see the difference. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the difference is that with piety, we are concerned about everything around God. So we want everything to be perfect for our Father in heaven. So we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We love his name. Thy kingdom come. We want God to rule the whole world. Thy kingdom come, especially in heaven. Look forward to heaven. Thy will be done. We're concerned that God's will always be done. So this, the gift of piety is concerned with everything about God, in addition to God himself. But we feel the love through the gift of piety. And the saints tell us that if we are devoted, if we'd love to pray, then God, when he comes to us in prayer, we feel him coming. We feel his presence. It is as if he has touched us. We actually feel it. It's basically physical. This is what the saints felt. And we presume that many of you have felt God's presence because of your great love of prayer. But even if you haven't, brethren, even if you have not reached this level of holiness, which is not to say that you must be a saint to feel it, you are nevertheless holy. Even if you haven't felt God's presence physically, you are still holy. You do not belong in the world any longer. You don't belong here on earth. You belong in heaven. If you commit a sin, it is like a desecration. It is as if you had have defiled the Eucharist. And we say this because receiving the Blessed Sacrament is what has made us holy. It's very important that you remember this. It is the source of our holiness, the Blessed Sacrament. Makes us like God. He has physically come to us and made us like himself. The angels actually revere us. Not only because of the Blessed Trinity which is in us, and sanctifying grace by which we share God's actual life, but because we are part of Christ's body. This is what makes us higher than the angels. The angels have never received the Holy Eucharist as you have done. privilege we have been given. You can see why we no longer belong here. We are not human any longer. We are godly. We belong to God. So much so, so holy, have so much like God have we become. As it says in the last gospel, our favorite line, become like God, become sons of God, it says, that we've become sons of God. So holy are we, so much like God, that we are, in a manner of speaking, holy, even in the state of sin. If you can imagine that. This is why it is so horrific for a Catholic to sin. He defiles Christ's body. This is why Catholics suffer so much in hell, because they still have the image of God in their soul and in their body. We are called, our Lord calls us, the children of light. Do not forget how holy you are. This gospel, even though you might think it is all about the mammon of wickedness, that's just an illustration that our Lord and Savior makes for us. That's not the point of the gospel. The essence of the gospel is seen right at the beginning, because Jesus says to us about this rich man. Who's the rich man? That's Christ. Christ is the rich man, right? You knew that already, didn't you? And we are the stewards, you and I, on Judgment Day. This gospel takes place on Judgment Day. And so we have to give an accounting of our stewardship. Judgment Day is not all about money. That's just one example of what we have to do. And he uses this because it is the lowest of all. It's the least of all things in this world. It's called the mammon of wickedness. Money. The money of wickedness. That's what we have in our pocket. Money of wickedness. That's why he uses this. The least of all things we have in this world, it's called wicked, is our money. And even that is given to us so that we can buy our way into heaven. So everything that we have belongs to the rich man. Everything we have. Our body, our soul, our will, our intellect, all of our virtues, everything belongs to God. It comes from Him. It is loaned to us. It is on loan. Everything we have. And we have to make an answer for everything we have. Our sacraments, our prayers. We have absolutely nothing that does not come from God and is loaned to us. You remember one thing we have that's ours, and that's our sin. Our sins. Only thing that belongs to us. And to whom much is given, much is demanded. Do you imagine, brethren, that the pagans out in the world have to answer what we have to answer for? Do you think that what is expected of us is expected of them? Not a chance. So much is expected of us. It's phenomenal. What is expected? Greatness. Great love, brethren. Great love from each and every one of us. Even the children. Children die too, and you have to make an accounting. You have to answer for everything you have. Frightening, isn't it? The little child who can commit a sin must answer for all of his gifts. Great love is expected, and great desires. Desire is everything, remember? We know that we have told you this before and you've heard it a million times, but desire is everything. And it works both ways, remember? If you desire a sin, you've committed the sin. But fortunately, it works the other way also. If you have a great desire for heaven, that's what you will get. It's essential that you have a great desire, but not only for heaven, for God now. We desire that God touch us now, because this is prayer. This is what is expected of us, that God touch us in prayer. Mother Frances Fournier, an Ursuline nun in the 1700s, was given great gifts, and she desired to be with God in heaven. She is not canonized, but she's considered a saint. She suffered with this desire for heaven for 30 years. We cannot describe what she suffered. It was mostly interior. Sometimes the other sisters could see her suffering. Her body would become just like a board. So stiff. Couldn't bend anything on her body. And her sufferings were just like the sufferings of the souls in hell. That's what she suffered off and on for 30 years. Obviously, she was sustained, as our Blessed Mother was, at the foot of the cross, because we know that she would have died if her life were not sustained. And we know that our Blessed Mother suffered all of her life, didn't she? Just as did Christ. Throughout his whole life, he suffered. Imagine what you would suffer knowing exactly how much pain you would endure in your death, as he knew. This nun suffered in her sleep. This was the degree of prayer, the desire that she was given to see God. And do not imagine that this is only is expected of nuns, religious, and priests. Certainly more is expected from us than you. But how many examples of lay people who are great saints have we given you? Recently we had the feast of Saint Elizabeth, Queen of Portugal. You must read her life sometime. The vicissitudes of her life were beyond anything that any of us have endured. But we will just tell you how her life ended. She was given the sense that her life was coming to an end. This is the level of her prayer. In all of her trials and tribulations, that one day, even though she was in good health, she got a fever. And she knew this was the end. And so normally when someone is dying, the priest will come to them, give them viaticum if they are given this grace, anoint them, and then they die. She came to the altar, knelt down at the foot of the altar, received viaticum, which is Holy Communion that we receive before we die. She received viaticum on her knees, was anointed, extreme unction, and after very fervent prayer, very soon she died. We can say, even though she had a fever, we can say she was in good health. She knew this was the level of her prayer. This was a lay person, such as yourselves. So you can see what level of prayer is expected from all of you. What a great desire you must have to see God and to feel His presence. That the Spirit would give testimony, would prove that you are sons of God. And God bless you.